over the last couple of years, I've been looking at sale yards. Now, you might say, why are sale yards so critical? I work at the Animal Australia Health Laboratory, and we're interested because sale yards provide a key transmission point in disease, but they also provide an opportunity to actually identify disease as well. So a standard lifetime movement of cattle may come from a farm to a sale yard, to a farm, sale yard, farm, and then back through and ultimately end up at an abattoir. So ultimately these sale yards are critical, and we were able to obtain, the RFIDs, the National Livestock Identification Scheme, we were able to obtain data for the years of 2006 and 2007. We were also able to obtain the property identification codes from the seven jurisdictions, ultimately all having different codes, different methods of allocation of those codes, and ultimately what's a property. With the PICS, we had 122 distinct properties that actually had cattle leaving them, and only 71,000 of properties having cattle receiving. So with all this data, we had 38 million records for the NLIS, and that was 2006-2007. So hopefully we're going to be able to get 2008 and 2009 and actually start confirming that what we've discovered is actually true now that the NLIS is being used widely and all of the time periods actually come into interaction. So we loaded that data into Oracle Spatial, and we started doing spatial analysis with the true spatial geometries from the property identification codes. And then we were able to export those. Because it was in Oracle, the database, you could run spatial queries or standard attribute queries and then create multiple statistical analyses. The NLIS is quite a complex system when you start looking at the data. We looked at just an exploratory and looked at the actual types of pigs. We've got sale agents, feedlots, producers from pig producer. Then we've got unknowns as well, because ultimately everything's allocated to a pig, but it's a producer. And the way that different jurisdictions allocate them are also different. So the data was quite difficult to actually start to analyse at the start. So you can see here, though, that our sale yards are still our main criteria. 98.7% came from producers through sale yards and ultimately ended up at either a producer pig again or an abattoir. And just note on the slide, 22.6% of movements that were held actually went to abattoirs. Now these were also because of the exemptions that some of the state jurisdictions have. Cattle from property of birth can go direct to an abattoir without actually going through the NLIS. So you can visualise those. The orange center is Delby Salia. So these are all the property locations that went through Delby in 2007. But then we can also start looking at the actual road network. And after doing a road network analysis through Oracle Spatial, we're able to identify the main driving routes that could potentially be used. And then the windrows just shows the aggregation of directions. And it was interesting to note that most of the directions actually travelled from the northwest to the southeast across the eastern section of Australia. These are the roads that were potentially travelled from Delby for the movements coming out. We were then able to also look at a convex hull, which actually we determined that the 90% of all movements within this region for each of the sale yards, and then ultimately put a buffer over them. But we've got 230 georeferenced sale yards, so how do you actually visualise that on one map? If you were using a GIS, you could start querying it and displaying it on the screen, but again, how do you present that within a report? So we came up with an standard grid, the optimum grid looks at the number of properties within a grid and also the maximum size of the grid. So we're able to write up a code, procedural language code within Oracle, to identify the number of properties and the actual space, and we came up with this grid. It's quite small, but because of the way that it works, the larger the areas within the Northern Territory are up to 25. So this is the movements going to the sale yards, and you can see the high area of movements within the Gippsland region in Victoria and also around Queensland. Unfortunately for New South Wales, we couldn't actually use those because we couldn't get the actual geolocations for each of the properties, so we could only assume the centroid of the postcodes. We wanted to make sure that the data was skewed rather than being looking like it was approximate, because they weren't true locations. So if you look at the from sale yards, again, we can now start to use these images as risk assessments. So in the event of an exotic disease outbreak, we can highlight those potential areas of Australia that would be affected. Again, we can start doing our risk landscapes, and this looks at the median distance travelled over the actual density of movements per kilometre squared. So these are the movements travelling to sale yards. Obviously, Northern Territory is going to be red. It's the highest distance. There's only one sale yard within Northern Territory. So all animals are going to move long distances. Our from sale yard movements, it's interesting that New South Wales, again, even though it's peaked highly, which is because of the centroids of the postcode, New South Wales do have the most animal movements. And the graph actually highlights those skewed movements for New South Wales. So we also looked at not just spatial but attribute movements as well. And obviously through the sale yard you're not going to have just a straight through movement. You've also got your disaggregation movements. A farmer sends animals and they get disaggregated. But then we've also got the aggregation movement and a disaggregation aggregation. Now, for disease traceability, these movements are quite significant. So after coming up with a program to actually allocate those and look at every individual animal movement of our 38 million records, we were then able to aggregate those and produce this graph. What's interesting to note is that 71.73% fall within that disaggregation to aggregation, which is a huge impact if you're coming to looking in an event. So through that sale yard, you're not only having to investigate one property, you have to go out and investigate basically every property that is present during that sale. This is just a breakdown as an example of aggregated with others. The one to highlight is this 257 properties were aggregated from one, at one sale into one transaction. Now it was to an abattoir that originated out of Midland sale yards. And previously when I started, I said about the 22% that were aggregated, that went to the abattoirs. It'd be interesting now that we've got this information, to go and actually check if they are significant for the abattoir movement. What we'd like to do now is actually undertake social network analysis on the sale yard, but also the whole Australian network, and look at the greatest impacts the sale yards have, but also the properties as well, because we have some feedlots that are sending out numerous cattle. We'd like to look at the relationships between those, and if we can actually identify a key distribution point in the emergency. In the event of a disease, we know where to put our boundaries. We know via the receiving convex hulls of the areas, we know where to actually put those boundaries and the restriction zones. similar to the equine influenza outbreak. So this is just a social network analysis of all the movements by breaking it down into quads across Australia rather than having all of our individual mob movements because there are so many. We can then break it down into the quads and actually start looking at the interactions between region to region. So in our conclusion, we've been able to identify the areas of possible higher risk. We now have a good understanding of the data, even though it being complex, and the jurisdictions' requirements and their exemptions. We now have a good understanding of that. And we are able to ground truths. Now that we know what we do now, we can start putting that into models. The database-driven research will increase in the future. There is no way that you can do this type of work without looking at databases, just the sheer number of records. The next steps are filling in the gaps, like those property of birth to export, property of birth to abattoirs, to identify those and start putting those into the model as well.